Moncrief on News Talk.
While we all have phones in our pockets, it seems as if a decreasing amount of people use them for their original purpose, as phones. Gen Z particularly seem terrified of pressing the green button and saying hello. The Guardian journalist Kate McCusker, herself a member of Gen Z, heroically opted to spend a week without messaging or texts and to actually call people up. Afternoon, Kate.
Hello, Sean. How you doing?
Why do you think that your generation particularly are so leery about talking on the phone?
I think it's a number of reasons, right? One of the experts I spoke to for the piece, a guy called Duncan Brumby, who works at UCL, told me that it's kind of like people have just fallen out of practice. It's a muscle that we don't really exercise anymore. So no wonder they're going to be sort of daunted by it.
Why have we fallen out of that habit, though?
Well, I think we've found easier ways and more convenient ways of communication, right? So texting is asynchronous, so you can sort of get back to someone whenever suits you. While doing this, I called a lot of people in the middle of the day while they were at work. And of course, they couldn't pick up because they have better things to do than chatting to me at 1 o'clock.
I suppose, yeah, it's more efficient in the sense that if there's one thing you want to say, you just say that thing. And there's not
exactly.
A lot of how are you and that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And also, I wonder, did you get this reaction when you spent your week only talking on the phone? How many people thought it was bad news that somebody had died?
I'd say about 60% of them asked me if something was seriously wrong. One of my friends actually admitted that she wasn't going to answer, but the only reason she did was because she thought something must seriously be wrong or I must be dying or something. So,
oh, gosh.
Yeah,
that's a kind of a shocking state of affairs, really. But I suppose it's kind of the phone equivalent of a guard arriving at your front door or a policeman arriving at your front door that you think, oh, my God, something terrible's happened. Really?
Exactly. Yeah, we tend to save those sort of more pleasant interactions for text messages. And now phone calls are reserved for sort of the more daunting things like booking medical appointments or receiving bad news or if it's an emergency. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, but then again, in the course of your day job, I assume you're calling people up all the time.
I am, yeah. It's very different when you're doing it for work versus when you're doing it for your personal life. I don't know why it feels different, but it just does, I guess, when you're going in for work. I kind of have a script and I kind of know what I want to say and what I want to get out of the interaction, which is not really the case in my personal life.
Yeah. It's kind of odd in the sense that we're kind of denying ourselves. When you have a conversation, you never really know where it's going to go.
Exactly, yeah. And that's one of the really exciting things about conversation. And that's what I kind of realized from my week of calling people. You know, that's kind of the point of relationships and friendships. It's talking things through and going to unexpected places in a way that you can't via text message.
Yeah. So so the people that you rang up,
yes,
were they all kind of... apart from, I thought something was terribly wrong, would they all be kind of in your relatively close friend group in that it wouldn't be that weird for them to get a phone call from you?
Well, so I initially started with phoning closer friends. And then as I sort of got braver as the week went on, I phoned people who I wouldn't be as close to. And that was probably the most excruciating part of it. I phoned a couple of old colleagues who, you know, we are friends, but we wouldn't speak on the phone. We're not super close. And, you know, we're at that tentative stage of a relationship. It's kind of like dating where you kind of don't want to unveil the full scale of your madness just yet. So I phoned, yeah, some old work colleagues and they actually didn't pick up, which was kind of excruciating.
Oh, God. All right. But I suppose you had the out in that when people picked up the phone, you could say, well, I'm actually also doing this as an experiment and I'm going to get a piece out of it.
Exactly. Yes. I didn't preface it beforehand, but once they answered, I did tell them that that's what I was doing. So that made it easier.
And the people then, how many people or as a percentage, I suppose, when you'd finished talking to them, said, actually, that was nice. Why don't we do this more?
I'd say all of them. I mean, maybe they're lying to me. But I think, yeah, what I discovered was people are really up for chatting. I mean, the ones who answered, that is. People just wanted to talk. And I think it was quite nice for them and quite a novelty.
Right. OK, well, that's a nice thing to hear. Because I was wondering whether any people who, even if they were, you know, good friends of yours, just found it too weird and couldn't do it.
No, I mean, I part of me wishes that were the case because it probably would have been a better story. But yeah, I mean, most people were happy to chat. And I think we all felt better because of it and we felt more connected. So that was good.
And since that week, have you kept it up? Have any of your friends rung you randomly?
So they haven't. It's still me doing the heavy lifting. I have been trying to do a few more phone calls. I took a couple of days off after the experiment just because I was feeling a little bit burned out. But yeah, I have been trying to, and especially with friends who live further away, I've definitely been trying to keep in touch via phone a lot more.
But would you you're of that generation, would you have to kind of phone your mammy once a week kind of thing?
I would indeed, yeah. I think she was sort of a bit put out by this experiment because I left it until the end of the week to call her.
yeah. Well, I suppose you knew they'd pick up.
Always, yeah, yes. Always. That's what's most reassuring. The people you really need will always pick up.
But while you were concentrating on phoning people, then did you have to refrain from not looking at your WhatsApp or your messages or any of that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think there was a bit of scrolling involved earlier in the week. So I really had to try and concentrate and listen to what people were saying. And I think our conversations were all the better for that.
Yeah. But was that difficult to do, to kind of just not look at your phone?
I don't think it's a conscious thing that we do. I mean, I have a really bad habit of when I call my mom of doing my New York Times mini crossword every day. And I don't think she knows that. she doesn't know that. But I really had to try. Yeah, I tried not to do it. I'd say it's not. It's just something we do unconsciously. It's sort of like a nervous tick, I think, checking our phone.
Mm. That's interesting. It's because we double screen. Well, we double screen when we're looking at TVs or whatever all the time as well. Mm-hmm. But maybe we're kind of, there's a form of that going on all the time. So we're not as present as we should be within the actual phone call.
Yes. I mean, I didn't ask people this, but I'd be interested to know how much they were looking at their phone while I was talking.
And would you be in a or are you a voice note person as well?
I occasionally, I mean, I don't love them. I think they go on for like way too long. We have actually a tradition in the group chat that I rang for the piece where we send a weekly voice note and we all talk about our weeks. And sometimes, as much as I love hearing from my friends, sometimes they do just go on about 5 minutes too long. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, because then you can't interrupt them if it's a voice note. And in a phone call, that probably wouldn't be as long.
Or if it was a phone call, you'd maybe put it down and go empty your washing machine or something while they were still talking.
Or, yeah, but you can, you know, drag them back to the point or ask supplementary questions and that kind of
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, gosh. So the thing is, though, Kate, are you back where you started in the sense that, you know, it was an interesting experiment to carry out for a week, but you're really back to messaging and sending voice notes?
You know what? I think I'm slightly reformed, but if I need to ask my boyfriend if we have milk, I will not be phoning him. I'll just send a text because some of it was a logistical nightmare. But yeah.
Yeah. And but did people praise you for doing this?
What, my friends, did they praise me? No, they were a bit more, I think they sort of treated it as like another one of my mad schemes. They weren't too perturbed by it. But yeah. I think some of them said, you know, they would never even dream of doing it. So I think the fear is definitely real.
Kate, thanks a million for speaking with us today on the phone.
Thank you very much.
Well done. That was Kate McCusker there. That piece is in The Guardian. A few comments on this. One texter says, I'm 34, so more of a millennial. But honestly, I can't remember the last time I rang a friend. I love voice notes. One of my closest friends even sent me a 20-minute voice note. It's a case of anything but actually have a live call. Crikey. And then, like, but if it's a 20-minute voice note, then, do you speed it up and they're talking in that horrible, you know, helium voice? I agree with that girl. The only reason to ring somebody out of the blue is if somebody is dead. I'd freak out if somebody rings me. Someone else says, I hate if anyone rings me and make a point to text back. Anything to avoid someone waffling on. Another texter says, the younger generation never had to use a landline where you have to talk and have a conversation and grew up texting on their mobiles. The art of conversation is dying, just like the art of letter writing. Yeah, I imagine the art of letter writing's pretty much gone, really. Well, now, there are some people who still do it, of course, but that's a good point. I won't even listen to a voice note, never mind a phone call, says the texter. Well, it's funny, probably a lot of people would prefer a phone call to a voice note. It just kind of irks a certain amount of people. The problem with phone calls is people don't know when to hang up. It goes on for far too long. I would like all phone calls to be under 5 minutes. Some go on for 45 minutes because there's something about making the phone call count. Nobody has time for 45 minutes out of their day to catch up with a friend. Well, I mean, if you're on the way home, I do see people all the time. Now, either they're all just talking to themselves very loudly, but I assume they have things in their ears and they're having conversations with people. Gen Z do enjoy leaving a long podcast-length voice note, though, so they're not averse to speaking, just only interested in their own voice, says Avril. Well, I suppose the advantage with a voice note is that no one's going to contradict you. I wish friends would call me. I find text so hard to get back to. I would much prefer a call. Another texter says, finally, myself and my best friend have a weekly catch-up every Sunday at 6 p.m. You can't get that in a text message or a voice note. You need time to have a proper conversation, and phone calls are essential for this. I'm kind of meeting people in person, of course.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.